Hi. My question is that under MCRSA, there's a provision permitting for-profit operation. There are localities that have passed ordinances in accordance with MCRSA. Is it legal for cannabis businesses with licenses provided under those ordinances to operate as for-profit entities right now? If not, what is the legal or regulatory change or moment that needs to occur for companies to operate for profit?
I'm looking at you, Luke.
Yeah.
So until we have state licenses that issue, until we have something explicit that allows for for-profit operation, I sort of addressed this briefly previously, but you're still working under this complex amalgamation of 20 years of other statutes and case law. You should not be operating for profit right now. You may be able to in the future with a state license. That's going to be, generally speaking, the trigger point, provided that the legislation that we expect to see clearing that up a little comes into effect at some point between now and the issuance of state licenses. But the bottom line is, at the moment, you've got to be looking backwards in terms of all the rules that mandate your regulatory compliance and your insulation from criminal liability, rather than looking forwards. There will be a time to look forward for what you're going to do in the future, but for the moment, you got to look backward for what you're supposed to be doing in the interim. So no for-profit operations right now.
Hi, I have a question. So we're a technology company coming into the space, and so I want to know how we can do more to educate ourselves and support existing players as opposed to displacing them.
Well, so I'll talk a little bit about my journey to cannabis. I think I'm come from a big law multinational firm background. And the first thing that I did was go to what you would consider, I guess, a trade association networking event. And I volunteered there, and I spoke with everyone there, and I learned a lot about who the businesses were in my area, what they did, and I asked them a lot of questions. And I also asked about job opportunities, and then I worked as a consultant. So I think if you're coming into the space new and you have an idea, there are no new ideas, right? We know that. But part of how you can differentiate yourself as a business is to participate in the existing community. We have tech platforms that don't need to host informational events for the cannabis community, for the farmers, but they open up their space to us to allow us to have local events. And I think that once people know that there's an exchange, you'll actually get a lot more insight into how your business would fit within the existing economy and how you can differentiate yourself as a business owner. There are trade associations that have tables at the exhibit hall that you can talk to a little bit. And depending on who you plan to serve with your tech platform, you should focus your efforts there. And then lastly, I believe, Hezekiah, correct me if I'm wrong, or everybody correct me if I'm wrong, I think that they're trying to figure out how to license some of the ancillary business types, or at least they're threatening to regulate you because, you know, right now under the, not threatening, but, you know, that's not a bad, we love regulation, right? Because you can point to the rules. But in terms of the ancillary services, you know, you see billboards around the Bay Area where people are getting their, like, market, capturing market through advertising, and some of our lawmakers don't like that. And so even if you are a platform that just provides services to cannabis businesses, you may not be able to advertise. So if your marketing plan right now is to do a guerrilla marketing plan on all billboards on interstate freeways, review the existing or pending legislation because they may want to bring you within the scope of our wonderful regulators' purview.
Also, if you're new to the cannabis industry, hang out with hippies, man. Go meet the culture, right? Like, cannabis legalization started as a cultural thing, right? Everybody who'd like to smoke weed and didn't want to go to jail got together to do it. And cannabis is a social drug, so you got to hang out. You got to meet these cats. You can't just show up in your suit with your money because hippies are fearful of that.
I'm wearing a suit.
Good morning. Not really sure how to ask this question. I'm not so much new to cannabis. I've been smoking for at least 10 years, but I'm getting into the cannabis industry as a photographer and media person. And I would like to produce like cooking cannabis shows and all different kinds of shows, but I really don't know what or how to apply or put myself out there. Like you're just saying, you can't. Sorry? So, I mean, where do I begin? I can't exactly grow and put that cannabis into my cookings and then serve it on a site and not be penalized. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
I think I can clear it up. As an event producer, right, it was easier to put on events when marijuana was illegal because you could just find some outlaw underground spot and do it up. But now you try to have a farmer's market, you try to have a cannabis-infused dinner, you try to throw a fancy pants weed event, you can't find a spot. You can't do anything. There's no rules, there's no regulations, and you can't really tell pot smokers that they can't get together and smoke pot and eat food because we're outlaws. So what can we do? What can we do about that?
What can we do?
I know you have a lot of other regulations to deal with before then, but I'm saying it's just something to think about.
I can chime in briefly question. Here. As somebody who represents a lot of folks in your position and represents some chefs and some people, talk to somebody who can give you a little bit of an idea about the rules and regulations. There's a guy about six rows back who's my law partner who specializes in entertainment and cannabis crossover opportunities. You should start by having a discussion with him. He'll give you a lot of good ideas.
What's his name?
His name is Jeff Welsh. You can raise your hand, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
He's right back there.
There you go.
All right. Under prepare to be bombarded. All right, we got time for just a few more. I know everybody and their mom has a question, and I'm sure you'll be able to talk to all these people after this.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, I deal in power industry. I work for PG 25 years. We have a private design company. We do a lot of these now guards coming to us for power, and we're letting them know that the power they have in our buildings is not large enough. What I know I'm working with a couple of groups, and the CPUC guidelines are going to have some rate tariff issues changes. What are you doing with California Energy Commission, educating these people about their power issues that are going on, and you know we're here to help also. But what are you doing with looking at? Is it going to be an ag rate? Is it going to be a separate rate? What are we doing to that, and how can we help? It's a great question to be asking you guys. What are we doing to do that?
So I guess how I can address that is through our environmental analysis. One of the things that we're looking at is the energy use. So we've been working really closely with the California Energy Commission. Every state agency that has anything to do with energy, we've been asking them what their current regulations are, because under the laws, it basically says that any cannabis grower is going to have to conform with state laws. And so we won't necessarily be regulating that under the Department of Food and Agriculture, but cannabis growers will be subject to state laws. We will potentially be addressing energy use through the mitigations based on the output of our environmental impact report.
Do you want to?
Yeah. The Public Utilities Commission is hosting a workshop at the end of this month here at their office in San Francisco, which will be, I think, the first, at least that I know of, the first public hearing on the subject. We've been working pretty extensively with SoCal Edison and PG&E, as well as the Utilities Commission, about some of these build-outs. You know, to the question about how to enter the marketplace and sort of this one, like, let go of the thought that this is a gold rush. The gold rush is not going to be good for that. Whole mentality is off. And so, you know, it relates to this energy consumption. Like, let's be reasonable here. The Public Utilities Commission is having a heck of a time trying to figure out some of the existing proposed projects, and we haven't seen the end of the fever by any means. So, you know, try to keep it reasonable would be my
makes my job easier
suggestion.
So okay. Hi, I'll just stand up so you don't have to go like this to figure out where it's coming from. My name is Peter Esposito. I'm from Crested Butte, Colorado, living here now. So I'm used to legal marijuana in Colorado. I also have one of those success stories from a medical perspective. 2 years ago, I had 7 vertebrae fused in my neck. I've got lower back issues that kept me from standing up this long. And I had Oxycontin, Vicodin, Flexerol, alcohol, facet injections. I got into hemp oil, and I haven't had one of those for over 2 years.
That's
wonderful. But anyway, so there's lots of success stories. I'm also in the power and gas business, like this gentleman here, and I've seen what regulation can do. And everybody wants to do the right thing, but they get down into the details. And I would encourage you all as regulators, as you go through your NOPR process, as we call it in Washington, to listen to other industries and their experience. A gentleman over here, Mr. Allen, I think, said you wanted to kind of keep the supply dampened. Well, that's what they did with taxi cabs, and now we have Uber. So I'd encourage you to look at what's going to be successful, what the market rule, what the consumers make the decisions at the end of the day, what's good quality, what's good price, and those sort of things. Thank you.
All right. So really more of a statement than a question, but very nice.
And what do you think about it?
What do you think about it?
Oh, man. We had one person. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Hi. I think this question would be for Laura and Amber. You've mentioned that you went to other states and you've learned from other states as far as what their regulatory is as far as their medical marijuana. What have California or what have you learned from those other states in order to push our process to make it go a little bit faster? Because if they're already set up and established, then why is it taking California so long to pass their regulatory establishments?
So we've talked to many, many states that has either both medical or adult use cannabis that's legal. And to answer your question, what's taking us so long, I think it's important to note that all of their laws and models aren't the same as California laws. So that's one. So it's not a carbon copy that we just go up to Washington, take their regs and put them into California. Nor would you want us to do that because we are different. Our statutes are different. And I think the industry is different. So what we're learning from them is how did their implementation process go? What were some of the things when they started day one that was a problem? And also, what are some of the things you're looking at Washington? I think they really tax cannabis quite high, and you can learn from that. Colorado, they learned from, you know, they had an issue with edibles and not regulating that strong enough from the beginning, and so having people that overconsumed or kids getting into it. So those are those things that we learn from, and that we shouldn't make those mistakes in California. We've got to, you know, get out in front of that and educate people. But in order to put together our regulations, and for such a big state, the rollout we have a lot more commercial cannabis in California than the other states. So and I'm going to tell you, the other states have been so generous with their time with us. We have a lot of conversations, but we want to do what's the best model for California, and I think it is good. And I think you're going to, when you see our regulations, you don't see a public process quite the same as California. We have a wonderful California, well, wonderful on, maybe not for the regulators, because it's a long process, but from a public standpoint, there is a lot of opportunity to weigh in and make and give your comment to make change to those regulations. And I can't say it enough. What we propose, we're proposing them. We have built into our timelines multiple comment periods, because if we do go back and change, we have to go back out for another comment period. So there is the power to change, which I think is good for the industry.
Also, just very, very briefly, they are doing this at breakneck speed in terms of what's taking so long. This is really an incredibly fast process for the size and complexity of what's going on.
And to the point of the opportunity for the public to get involved, if you don't think you're going to operate a cannabis business, but you still care about the lay of the cannabis land in California, the Bureau has actually just released its applications for the Cannabis Advisory Board. Ordinary citizens and business owners alike can apply to help them understand our industry and see where the public's interests lie as it pertains to cannabis. So definitely encourage people to go to the Bureau website, check out the application, and get that process started.
Regs panel, everyone, give it up. Make some noise, y'all. Make some noise. It's the real deal. If you still have a question, these folks are very accessible. You just go ahead and ask them. Yo, one more time, rules and regs in the house. Thank you guys very much.